In this week's podcast, Brother Brzezinski preaches on the topic, Will It Blend?
Thank you for that. This week, let me first say, there's something about a person who's hungry for God that just kind of like inspires you, and that's what Zach, as a friend, has been to me over the past months, is a man who's just hungry for the things of God, and it is encouraged me, it has inspired me, and I appreciate that about him very much. God's going to use that, absolutely. So before we get started, I do want to thank Brother and Sister Lopez for always being leaders, awesome people, visionaries for our class. We appreciate them. As you mentioned, it's nice to have Brother Kilman with us all the time, and we're just blessed in this class. We're blessed here at Calvary, but I thank God that Brother Lopez and Sister Lopez are here in this class. Amen. So I want to read to you a verse. I'll start with a verse, Hebrews 5 and 12. And this is not necessarily my text, but it is just a rebuke is all it is. So don't take it super personally unless the shoe fits. Hebrews 5 and 12 says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So at the time that you should be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again. Now, I'm not rebuking you directly, but as I said, if you feel that the Holy Ghost is applying it to you, yeah, it's the Bible. You should apply it to yourself. But as Zach said, I do believe that revival's coming. It's not if revival's coming. I believe it's when revival's coming. Revival's coming. And the mission of this class has always been to equip us in ministry. And what I'm hearing across whoever's preaching is that revival's coming, and we ought to get ready, and we ought to be a part of it. But before we're a part of it necessarily, we need to have some foundational things settled in us, because if we're out there talking to people about the power of God, well, maybe we should know about the power of God. And I'm not trying to the experiences that we have had and that we do have with God, because those are legitimate. Those are right on real. Maybe we're probably on all levels here, and I'm not some super spiritual guy. We're all on the journey together. But one thing is true is that if we're going to lead people to where they need to be in God, we've got to get some foundational things settled. So have you guys seen those YouTube videos where this guy takes a blender and is, will it blend? And he blends all these different things. Have you seen it? Nobody's seen it? I was almost going to do the video in here, but I didn't prepare it. But this guy blends golf balls, he blends glow sticks, and he turns the lights off and he puts it in a blender and it blends. And before every video, he asks, will it blend? And then he puts objects in a blender and blends it. He put an iPad into a blender and blended it until it was a bunch of powder. This is what I do. You know, you were saying, like, he has a career. This is what I do at my job. I watch YouTube videos about people blending stuff. So I don't know how that is at all. Okay. So I have brought with me a blender from the year 1975, roughly. Yeah. And Lord willing, we could even blend some things today. We could do that. We'll see how we're feeling. We'll see if I get any help. But, you know, this blender, I brought it in because, to me, it's a picture of society. Yes, it's this society, man. It's this blender. No, it's... But, you know, society, it's an interesting thing. You've heard postmodernism, right? Oh, I want to go to sleep. Postmodernism. What are you going to talk to us? Do you even understand what postmodernism is? Because I really didn't for a long time. But I've come to something that I feel like I can explain it sort of well for my simple mind. It is basically that there's no objectivity, there's no objective truth, so everything that we kind of know to be true in terms of morality or in terms of anything, okay, let me put it to you this way. When it comes to accounting, we better have some objective truth like mathematics to work with, right? We all agree on that. When it comes to the scientific method, we better have some objectivity. But when it comes to, like, is there a God, this issue of morality, is abortion right or wrong, and all of these things, people say, well, you know, there's nothing to measure, there's no way we can really tell, so the best that we can come up with is, who knows? So my truth is that I think there might be a God, but probably not such a thing as hell, because what kind of a God is that? And you have all these opinions that are really, it comes down to postmodernism is the individual kind of decides because he doesn't think there's any moral objective reality. Is that, you guys still okay? You awake? Everybody sort of awake? So to me, it looks a little bit like this blender, okay? And it's, I've got some goodies here. Would somebody like to help me? Maybe a man in the yellow shirt? I could use an extra set of hands. Now, if you could find a banana in there, that would be great. And if you could unpeel said banana and put it into the blender, just don't put your whole hand in there. I'm liable to... Okay. Insurance waiver? Do we have an insurance waiver, young adults? Thank you, sir. So, you know, this postmodernism thing, you get these people saying weird things like, you know, well... You wouldn't hear it other places like, well, 2 plus 2 equals 4. That might be your reality, but my truth is 2 plus 2 equals 5. You don't hear that anywhere else. But it comes for some reason to church, to morality, to God. People just think that, well, you can't really know anything, so I'll just kind of do what I want. That's just what society is. So it's like, you know, we'll take any old thing. Okay, that's a good-looking banana. Do you find, what else do we have in here? Can you grab some of these nice apricots and maybe dump some of those in? You're a good man. Can we give, what's your name? God bless you, sir. And we'll just pour some apricots in. Just whatever we're feeling, we'll throw in this blender. It doesn't matter. Do you have any dirty socks we can put in this blender? Well, we'll work on that. So just, yeah, we're feeling some apricots. What else do we have? We've got some carrots. Ooh, garlic cloves. That's good in a fruit smoothie, is it not? Let's throw some of those in there. And what do we got here? Is this ground cumin? Cumin? Go ahead and dump some of that in there. Cumin. Thank you. I cook all the time. So dump some of that in there. And this is kind of like what society is kind of like. Yeah, take that cover off. We don't have time for this. Just take that cover off. All right. Yeah, put it all in there. Why not? This is going to be a good smoothie. Who would like some of my postmodern smoothie? Alex, you would? Okay. So, now of course we live in America. This is a good thing that we have freedom and we can all do... Okay, you can sit down for now, but stay ready. Okay? Stay ready. So, you know, am I glad that we have individual freedom in America? Yes. I'm glad this isn't Russia? Yes. Okay? So we're happy about individual freedom. That's a good thing. But freedom was never meant to be an ultimate freedom. Let me just read you a quote by Alexis de Tocqueville, who wrote, he was writing about America back in the day. And we look at our freedom in America and we're like, well, this is a very good thing, but what if we had just ultimate freedom? I mean, what if, you know, what if we said here, well, okay, you know, you think it's cool to, you know, murder, steal, pillage, you know, it's okay. You know, just everything goes. And let me just read you this quote really fast. He says that liberty regards religion as its companion in all its battles and its triumphs, as the cradle of its infancy and the divine source of all its claims. It considers religion as the safeguard of morality and morality as the best security for the law and the surest pledge of the duration of its freedom. Now, I only read that to say, you know, democracy, our country was not founded on just some kind of nuts freedom where you do whatever you want and you just see what happens. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and that is what keeps our liberties intact. I just wanted to throw that in there. So thank God for liberty, but even our liberty in this country is based on some very serious biblical truths. So we'll take this, you know, And we've got our blender. It looks really good. And should we blend it? Is that okay? Help me out here. Should we hit chop? Should we hit grind? Whatever you're feeling. Stir, blend, frappy. Should we go frappy? Let's do frappy. This one right here. Rock it. Uh-oh. That kind of worked. Okay, you may be seated. So I have a question to you. Will it blend? I think that this stuff would blend very well, but of course, it's kind of gross. Let me ask you this question. Will the church blend? And I think that's what we've been asking, what pastor's been preaching, what we've been hearing a lot of. Will the church blend? Okay? And this is a good question. Will the true church blend? No, the true church will not blend. The true church cannot blend. We can put the true church into the blender, and we won't even try to do that. It will not happen. But, you know, it's funny to me, if you would listen to our pastor preach, he's clear that there are elements within Christianish Christendom that they're just all too eager to blend with whatever seems convenient and with whatever seems to be most acceptable. So it's like, well, and we've got young ears here, so we'll be careful. But, well, you know, I just don't think that you should be judging who I can love. And, you know, that's just not for you to judge. And I might have my individual rights. And, you know, church, if you would just kind of not be so intolerant. And this is the only curse word in our society is fundamentalism. You know, we will tolerate you as long as you're not so intolerant, right? We will accept you as long as you're not so unaccepting. So if you'll just, we're not asking a whole lot of you, you know, but if you'll just blend a little bit on this issue, if you'll just kind of mix in with the main on this issue, you know, hey, you can be accepted. But does the true church blend? Is the true church after just kind of mixing in and being in the mix? Absolutely not. The true church is built on the basis of a true Bible. And the one God message, it doesn't go into a blender. The one God message cannot go into the blender. A holiness message does not go into the blender. So, you know, this whole postmodern idea is, well, we're gonna create our own meaning. You know, we're gonna kind of get together and, you know, we'll have our, you know, we'll sit on a stool here and, well, I don't know, what do you guys want to talk about tonight? Well, let's talk about love. Okay. Let's talk about love. Let's sit on our stool and we can hang out and have a good time and just kind of create meaning together, and it'll be really fun, and we can discuss truths and we can sound really smart and be really trendy and be really cool, and we can talk about the cool things. We can mix a little philosophy in. We can talk about that stuff. And we'll just kind of mix it into our Christianity. We'll get our smart ideas going, and we'll just kind of put it all in a blender and we'll say, here we go. Now, it's kind of some of the things that we do, it's just a little off-putting, is it not? We're pretty distinct sometimes. There's some places we don't go, some things that we just don't do. We don't blend in very nicely. Will the church blend? All we have to do is just kind of synthesize a little bit with the world. That's all we have to do, just blend a little bit. But the true church does not blend. Now, so let me bring this question then, as we bring it down to our level, peoples. At our level, do we blend? That's a tougher question. It's easy to say, well, yeah, the church should stay strong. You know, we look at the Catholic Church kind of caving in on certain issues, and it's easy to say, well, yeah, the church should stay strong on certain issues. If the Bible's very clear about something, how can elements of the church kind of be blending into popular opinion? It doesn't make sense, but thank God that where we are here at this church, we have a pastor who's standing up for righteousness, who's standing up for holiness. And we don't have to be kind of concerned necessarily as much. We should be concerned, but we don't have to be too worried that our pastor is going to take us someplace that just is not biblically right to go down. But when it comes to our own personal lives, will we blend? Well, that's a different question. And we could go down the line. Will we blend with regard to the entertainment that we put into our lives? Will we blend with regard to just what our heart is after, right? Now, the Bible says, love not the world. And that's the issue, right? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Bible is just frankly very clear. And, you know, I would love to maybe, in certain times, in certain seasons of life, I would love to kind of have entertainment or have worldly pleasure or have a coolness and still be in the church and have a certain a certain credibility of, well, I go to church. I still have that as part of my life. And it's easy to want to maintain both parts within our lives. And it's easy to want to carry those concurrently, but those things do not mix. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These things are mutually exclusive. They cannot be mixed together, and we kind of do a cool kind of hip-style Christianity, and we do a groovy smoothie of Christianity, and I've got my trendy little this or that. That's simply not what holiness is about. Holiness is not mixing down anything. It's nothing to do with the blender. Holiness is outside of the blender. Holiness is being separated from the blender. We have, the Bible says, this treasure in earthen vessels. Now what, let's just say I had some treasure. And I kind of do. Do you know what this is?
Treasure.
Is it what? Silver coin. I mean, that just sounds like money. That just sounds like money. I mean, that paper stuff that we've got these days, not so sure about that, but this is money. But what would it look like if we said, well, this is pretty cool that we have this money. Would you like one of these? Oh, of course you would. Because why? It has value. It has value. That just sounds like money. Okay? And what we would never dream of taking treasure and just kind of mixing it in with any old thing. Oh my goodness. Is it cumin? Cumin. I've got cumin on my silver coin. We wouldn't dream of doing that in with our physical treasure, and yet that's kind of the exact picture of what we do when we mix this Holy Ghost. They don't call it the Holy Ghost because it's unholy or because it can be mixed with any old thing. It's the Holy Ghost because it's outside of the world. The Bible says that if you were of the world would love you. If we were of the world, we could get along with the world, but we're a different element. We're something completely different. This is the whole idea of holiness, that we are separate, that we are outside. And the moment that we do try to move toward just plain coolness and our affection is toward cool, we're missing something. We cease to be moving toward God when we're moving toward coolness, as the world defines coolness. Now, Brother John, you're cool. Brother Juan, you're cool, but it's a different kind of cool. It's a Holy Ghost cool. Can we say that? Now, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to close here. But so you get this picture, right? We're, as apostolics, as holiness people, the Word of God demands that we're not in the blender of any old thing, but we're distinct and we're separate. And what are we going to win people to when we get out there and we witness? What are we going to bring them to? Oh, I got my life mixed up with all the bad ideas of Hollywood too? Well, we're going to bring them in here and we're going to disciple them to what? To what are we going to disciple them? So my challenge tonight is this. We are all people. We all want to be saved. I hope that we're all saved, but our aim is a little bit higher. We need to disciple. Be ready to disciple children. Because I believe revival's coming. When we have an influx of young believers and children, what are we going to disciple them to? Are we going to be drinking milk and kind of halfway blended up with the world and needing to kind of purify our own lives still? Well, I hope not. I hope that we just got some things figured out and we're ready to start feeding some children some milk and growing them up not in a... if the salt has lost its savor, if we're kind of just mixed up ourselves, what are we doing? We've missed the boat. Holiness is not just, oh man, holiness is how we walk with God. We are separated to God by holiness. It's not something that it's just an idea. It's not something that's just a dress code. It's just being separated in our affections and in every aspect of our lives to God. And there's such a thing as directional holiness, right? We can truly be looking holy and our direction can be bad wrong. Our direction can be going toward the world and it looks fine, but the direction we're going is important as well. You got the picture. We got the picture. I know. I should teach third grade, don't you think? I'd be a good third grade teacher. I feel like. So I want to move on, because first of all, I said you teach math, right? English. Oh no. So I said that some things don't blend, right? Well, on the other hand, some things do blend. Some things do blend. You know, the Bible says that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. I don't understand how the God of all creation inhabited a human body. Don't quite get that with my brain. Don't quite need to. It's kind of a mystery in a certain sense. But, you know, that was one of the first deals of the early church, actually. Not that is Jesus God or not. That wasn't the issue. One of the first battles was over, was Jesus a real human? Or was he some kind of super spiritual human? Because, Juan, if you know me, and I know you, you know that my flesh is pretty, it's not that great. I know your flesh, and I'm glad you have the Holy Ghost. And flesh, if we all know our flesh, and if we're honest about our own flesh, we would be in trouble, a lot of trouble, just left to our own devices. It's not saying that we couldn't be, you know, decent, functional people in society and mow our lawns and go to work. We can all do that without the Holy Ghost. That's fine. But we know our hearts, don't we? We know the sinfulness of our own hearts. We know the wretchedness of our own flesh. And the thing that freaked people out is, well, how could the God of all creation, how could he dwell in a human body? Because I know humans. I know myself. So surely, this was the Gnostic idea, surely Jesus was some kind of spiritual flesh, or as, you know, the divine flesh. There's a certain appeal to that, because it kind of says this Jesus was so super special, and then we're over here, and you know, certainly God wouldn't touch humans like us and mix in with us. And this message of Pentecost, I'd never wanted to be a preacher. This wasn't like something that I just set out to want to do. But when I got into this church, and when I realized that the Spirit of the Almighty God does want to mix in with this wretched humanity and make us better, that blew my mind. It blew my mind, and it changed my life. Now, I saw some of you there Friday night. Madison, I saw you there. I saw some of you there Friday night. And for those of you who weren't there or don't know, we had like a 12-hour worship deal on Friday night here. And it was awesome. And somewhere about 1:30 in the morning, after worshiping, there was a song that I forget the words, to be honest, but what stuck out in my mind was just this message that the same God who spoke all this into existence, the same God who brought the children of Israel out of the Red Sea, the same God who was with the apostles, that same God is the very God and is the very power that who has? Not the Catholics, with all due respect. Not the Muslims, with all due respect. Not even a whole lot of Christianity. It's the Pentecostals who mix in with this power. And if there's anything in the universe, any experience that you can have that is better than this, show me. I've not found it. I know what I found here, and only here. And this Holy Ghost mixes in with you and me. And I know my heart. And yet the Holy Ghost mixes in with you and me. So I'm glad that the Holy Ghost mixes in with me, but here's the point, is that happens. The Holy Ghost mixes in with us to make us saved and all that good stuff, but he does it for more than just that. He does it so that we can take that and not go back to the world and mix it back in with the world and dilute our witness, but he does it so that we can continue to pursue him in distinctness, in separateness, in holiness. How else do we see him except through holiness? How are we supposed to say, I want to show you our God, come to our service, I want to show you our God, and our lives are so mixed up and diluted, we can't even really grasp him and see him in our own lives. And if you were there at one, oh my goodness, it just blew my socks off. At 1:30 in the morning, there was one lady who just burst out in worship. And I was up there just looking, and I was saying to myself, my goodness. You just felt the power of God so strong there, and I was compelled to go up. And I felt the power of God stronger there than I have in a very long time. And when you've interacted and felt the power of God, as we all have, it doesn't even make sense that we would take that and mix it in with beggarly elements. It doesn't even make sense. It's a Holy Ghost that is in us for a purpose. So here's my challenge. And it works. Can I get some music here to help me? But here's my challenge. Is the Spirit and the Word agree together that we ought to be an unblended and unmixed. We ought to be unmixed. It does not make sense to take our treasure that the world needs and just toss it in and say, well, let's see if we can't grind it up and just be acceptable with the society's kind of smoothie. No, I don't want that. I just want to keep this treasure. It may be in an earthen vessel and we may look weak, but we've got treasure in the Holy Ghost. And I'm so convinced of that. I'm not messing around. I'm not getting up here just to talk to you so I can be up here and be the preacher. I'm convinced that this Holy Ghost is the best thing going. I don't want to trade it in for anything else. I'm not looking to trade it in for anything else. I'm looking to continue in the Holy Ghost. And it's not just for me to be saved. Yes, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But here's the thing. The revival is coming. And there are people out there who need somewhere to go and somewhere to find where it's undiluted and it's just Holy Ghost power and it's the real deal. And we need to be the real deal. Amen. So God bless you. If you would just stand with me. You know, I'm going to invite Brother Juan up here in a moment to lead us in prayer, but I just want to invite and challenge you, because this isn't an opinion of me. This is just the didactic Word of God. If you're looking for, you know, we want to have our little talk and gather our opinions, that's cool in a postmodern kind of way, but that's not the Word of God. The Word of God is forever settled. It is what it is, and it's our job to just obey, because that's a prerequisite for the revival that's coming.